Free Talk Live. You may dial toll-free and join us here on the radio. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
I wanted to start out tonight with something that I mentioned, I think it was last week, having in store for Melanie. We never got back to, or we never got to it later in the week. So
I'm saved it for me.
I've saved it for you because I think you're the most relevant co-host to be able to comment on this. It is an opinion piece written by Adamo Freeman. Now, have you met Adamo? Were you around when he was around here?
No.
Okay. So Adamo Freeman, for those that don't know, is the founder of CopBlock, copblock.org, very popular police accountability website. I'm a big fan of CopBlock. I've been around since the very beginning of this organization. I got the badge to prove it. I've got they issued badges a couple of years ago, and
those are really confusing from a distance before you know they exist.
Yeah, it says on the badge when you get close enough to read it, it says badges don't grant extra rights, and then there's a number like a serial number or a police number, and mine is number 5. So I'm in the top 5 of the CopBlock founder types. Free Talk Live has been a longtime supporter and sponsor of Adamo and Pete and, you know, those guys over at CopBlock and the good work that they've done. I personally have been on the streets for countless hours, going and holding the police accountable when they are harassing peaceful people like college students for open container violations or just pulling over folks for no real crime whatsoever, and trying to hold the police accountable, recording video of them, which is one of the things that CopBlock advocates for, is to record. Get these guys on the record. Have a camera present, whether it's you being pulled over or you spot somebody else being pulled over who you don't even know. I usually ask their permission. I'll usually ask the victim's permission to record. And if they say yes, then I'll go ahead and record the scene. I don't want to upset
You don't know whether those people are necessarily victims until you've stood around for a little while.
It's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, the odds are if the police are pulling someone over, they are a victim of the police. 99% of the time, they're not pulling over a wanted murderer or, you know, rapist or something like that. They're pulling someone over for a stop sign violation.
And when they do pull somebody over for something that's an actual offense, not an actual crime and an actual offense, they tend to do things like draw their guns and encircle car. So if all he does is have his hand on his gun, then it's probably some sort of victimless crime.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if the cops were to have drawn guns on a car, then I would record without asking someone's permission. So my general rule is, if it just looks like your regular old traffic stop, as soon as the cop walks away from the car door, you know, after they come up and take the license from the person, I'll say something to the person who's driving, like, hey, is it all right if I record this? And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So anyway, I'm a big fan of CopBlock. I think they do good work. CopBlock.org has constantly, the latest news about very naughty police all around the United States and around the world. Cops doing violent, terrible things, oppressing people. It's just a depressing but enlightening blog if you've never seen it before. So I recommend it. I recommend you check that out. But Adamo Freeman, we've had him on the show. He's been a co-host. He's been sitting in your seat in the past on a regular basis because he used to actually live here in Keene. Keene is sort of, it's almost like the home of CopBlock. The CopBlock founders have all lived here in this very house and get a long history with him. And Adamo, when he started CopBlock, he was pretty upset. He was pretty, and rightfully so. I mean, he'd been a victim.
Well, I don't think that calm Zen people tend to start things like CopBlock.
Right. He was upset, and for good reason. You know, he'd been a victim of the war on drugs. In fact, he's writing a book about that now that he started while he was most recently in jail. He just got out about a week or so ago from being held. He's facing criminal charges, felony charges in Ohio for possession and distribution of cannabis. Facing several years in prison over that, so he's out on bail at this moment. And this is a blog that he wrote while he was in jail. He wrote a few different blogs. This one I thought was really interesting, and I'm going to share it with you. So it is entitled, Was I Wrong? While you may think this post will be about my pending case out of Warren County, Ohio, it is not. I am most certainly not in the wrong in those matters, which will be sorted out later. The post, or this post, is about my efforts here at copblock.org over the last few years, particularly from 2014 to mid-year of 2016. During that time, I helped launch the F the Police logo with CopBlock branding and frequently used the hashtag F your badge. Before I explain how such messages may have been more harmful or way less effective than good, allow me to provide a little background on myself. My very first police interaction was at the age of 14 years old while walking the streets of the small Wisconsin town that I grew up in, Mayville. This interaction was a simple case of small-town cops who were a little too power-hungry or thought us kids were really up to no good. All we were actually doing was walking the strip while other kids drove laps. Over the next 20 years, I was arrested more times than I can remember, but aside from two pre-18 years old fights, which is, I think, all too common, I've never been arrested for a crime with a victim, for using violence, or for damaging property. So, since he became 18, you know, he got in a couple of fights when he was a kid. But
and when you're 18, you kind of have more of an option to walk away. So I feel like
fight,
that's,
you mean,
and
like,
I don't know the details of that, but I feel like that's relevant.
He says, I believe that from the late 90s until 2013, all of my interactions with the police left me not only with a bad taste in my mouth, but also with some deeply rooted anger towards police officers, especially those that led to felony convictions, which stripped me of my firearms and passion for hunting. And while in CopBlock's infancy, my anger was probably shielded by the sound messages of film the police and badges don't grant extra rights. It eventually came through loud and clear in 2014, though some understood, many did not, and instead of finding mutual ground to work on, many were pushed away from the CopBlock brand. I justified my actions by challenging others to simply do them, or by saying that I thought such messages of F the police or F your badge could be effective if people looked deeper into the issue, basically going for shock value to get people thinking, but how could I expect them to think more or deeper with such a turnoff at the start? In the words of Mahatma Gandhi, and you know things are changing for Adamo when he's citing Mahatma Gandhi.
Well, I've never met him in real life, but I have him on Facebook, and he's pretty, I mean, especially for somebody who's victimized as much as he is, that doesn't surprise me. He's pretty calm.
Madness answered with madness simply deepens it. It never dispels it. That's from The Essential Gandhi, page 221. And he says, and Gandhi, via that book, The Essential Gandhi, which is in the jail library here, for some amazing reason, is who brought me full circle to this viewpoint, along with an amazing person in my life who showed me to look inward and then outward, you know who you are. I see now that love and non-cooperation are the keys to ending oppressive state actions, and that, quote, if we are to make progress, we must not repeat history, but make new history. Again, from The Essential Gandhi, page 206. He says, they say violence begets violence, so obviously hate also begets hate. When I first came to the realization that my most recent run-in with the law was going to leave me in a cage for an unknown amount of time, I reverted back to some of this hate. I called the corrections officers masters and referred to the inmates as slaves, because if we don't even own our own bodies, then that's what we are. And while that analogy may ring true, it does me no good in terms of showing those corrections officers the truth of my wrongful caging or the errors of their professions.
I don't know if that's accurate.
You don't know? Well, tell me, what do you mean by that?
I don't know, because I don't know who these people are, and I don't think he does either. It may or may not show them that, like, I don't, people are very individualized as to what's going to show them the truth, and I don't know that, you know, yelling at cops is going to convert a cop. But I don't know what those particular cops, whether or not that shows them anything or not. Maybe that's the first time somebody pointed that out to them. Maybe they've heard this for 20 years. I don't know. I don't think he does either.
But is it
so
likely?
I don't think that he can say that.
Are you more or less likely to listen to what someone's saying if they insult you?
Me personally, I don't think my conversion is really like a whole lot of other people's, but I mean,
I'm not asking you about
people.
Your conversion.
Well,
I'm just saying, if someone is saying something to you and they preface it with an insult, are you more or likely or less likely to listen to that person? Hold on. We'll continue the discussion here. 855-450-FREE. If you want to weigh in, this is Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype. You can Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We're talking about Adamo Freeman and not his most recent or upcoming court case for being arrested for marijuana. We're certainly going to continue to follow that. But this is about an article that he wrote, a blog post that he wrote while he was in jail, entitled "Was I Wrong?" And he's kind of looking at the history of Adamo, his own history and being involved with and the creator of copblock.org, and kind of where he was coming from and, you know, maybe possibly changing his viewpoint on how to communicate effectively to the police and their supporters. So he's referring to his anger and hatred for the police and citing some quotes from a book called The Essential Gandhi that he happened to find while he was in jail. And he says that it brought him full circle to this viewpoint along with the help from an amazing person in his life. Which
is that you, Ian?
I believe that's his girlfriend.
Funny, I thought it was too.
But I have had a similar path as Adamo did. I moved to New Hampshire and had a pretty big chip on my shoulder, an axe to grind over the police, and then proceeded to proceeded to change that viewpoint into one of perspective of peace and love and forgiveness and understanding. So let me go on here with what Adamo says.
I'm sure the police really appreciate it too, Ian.
Well, actually, yeah, some of the cops and I get along pretty well, as a matter of fact.
You don't. So, I don't think you know that. I mean, how do you know you get along well versus how do you know if you're under investigation?
Reasonably certain he is under investigation.
I have been under investigation for sure, but you know, there's a difference between a police officer who, like, talks to you like a human being, and then there's another, you know, and compare that to an officer who will ignore me and treat me like I'm a ghost. So I've had, you know, a wide range of responses from the Keene police.
Right, but I'm saying just because they're being pleasant doesn't mean that they're not just...
They could be conducting investigation, for sure. And, you know, if it gets further than just pleasantries, then I would be aware of something like that happening. But, you know, I've had dinner with Tim Pelequin in town on a couple of different occasions when I was at the 100 Nights, which is a local homeless shelter, masquerade ball. We would eat together and, you know, have enjoyable conversation. I mean, he didn't have to treat me like that. He doesn't, you know, and I didn't have to treat him that way either. But there was, a mutual respect between the two of us. The difference between the previous police chief and the one who just recently died, the one previous to him and the one who just passed away, surprisingly, was a huge difference. The one previous to him treated me like I didn't exist, as though he were like a small child, acting like I was a ghost or something like that. Very rude, very unprofessional. And the new guy, who is now passed away, unfortunately, actually took the time to come up and introduce himself to me and further called me once when he had a story about a bad batch of heroin that was going around town. And he asked me for help. He asked me to help publicize that particular story about, you know, people overdosing on a particularly bad and specifically identifiable batch of heroin. And
but I'm just saying that these aren't reasons to let your guard down.
I didn't say anything about letting my guard down. I just talked about how treating somebody with, you know, like a human being and respectfully can actually, you know, garner some of that back. And I can understand, you know, you should also be very careful, and it's generally a bad idea to talk to the police, you know, especially if you are being investigated. But in these circumstances, I didn't feel like any sort of, you know, dangerous subjects were being broached or anything like that. So anyway, back to the story here.
I guess I have a couple of thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure.
One, it's the police's job to keep their enemies close, right? Uh-huh. So, you'll find them hanging out with drug dealers and things like that.
That's what they used to train them to do before they trained them to shoot cops. To shoot dogs.
Right. I mean, you know, it's called an investigation. It is an investigation, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that Melanie has a reasonable point.
Are you saying the police chief was investigating when he called me and asked me for help publicizing a bad batch of heroin?
No, I think he was taking advantage of a publication that he knew he had access to for specific
Well, he didn't know he had access to it. It was his first time ever asking for anything like that.
Yeah, I can tell you I couldn't get anything published in Free Keen.
But I was willing to do it because I saw it as a shared goal of harm reduction.
Okay, oh, right. I agree. But if I call the New York Times with something they're interested in and say, hey, you want to publish this? And they publish it, that doesn't mean they like me. It means they like my story.
That's fine. To have the police chief have enough respect for freekeen.com, my blog site on which you are also a blogger, Melanie, to have that was a marked difference from the guy who was his predecessor, who basically ignored me and treated me like I didn't exist. So big difference to me as far as, how I was approached.
I agree with you. I think the value of, not being angry at the police lies mostly in they don't care if you're angry at them, that it only harms you. Hate harms the hater.
That much is true.
So I do concur that if somebody's going to listen to you, that they're going to listen to you because you sound convincing, not because you're, angry and yelling and all those other things.
Exactly.
Well, and that depends on the audience. I think that
An angry message is going to reach an angry audience. I mean, that's right, why Christopher Cantwell is very, very popular.
I mean, when I started listening to Tom Woods, it took me, and this is ridiculous on my part, I admit that, but it took me a good month to realize he was an anarchist. He had to actually come out and say it because I'm just like, listen to this guy for at least two shows every day because I was like driving a long way to work at the time. Mm-hmm. And just like for some reason didn't catch on to that until he said it because I was like, he's just really calm. He must be a minarchist. And that is bad logic. I'm not saying that's good logic, but you're not going to have an audience full of people who are using good logic all the time. Mm-hmm. So different methods work for different people.
No, I think that's true. I think that's definitely true. But what is the most effective method in general? And I would say, well, maybe Ademo's onto something here. So he said that when he was put in this jail, he called the corrections officers masters, referred to the inmates as slaves. And he says that while that may ring true, it does me no good in terms of showing these officers the truth of my wrongful caging or the errors of their professions. Two particular quotes from Gandhi highlighted this clearly for me, so much so that I made the first one of them into a two-page poster that now hangs in my cell, though I removed the word God and put I in its place. These quotes were taken after Gandhi was attacked by a British crowd and government agents in South Africa in the late 1800s. Quote, I hope God will give me the courage and sense to forgive them and to refrain from bringing them to law. I have no anger against them. I'm only sorry for their ignorance and their narrowness. I know that they sincerely believe what they are doing today is right and proper. I have no reason, therefore, to be angry with them.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. The vast majority of police that are out there enforcing, whatever laws, these laws with victimless crimes and these sorts of things, believe they're doing the right thing. And they've been told their whole lives that this is the right thing to do. And it thus, confronting them about it is entirely different than, some kind of scared straight program in prison where they yell at them and take their shoes. The kids know that they're doing wrong, and so the yelling at them may or may not be more effective. I'm not entirely sure.
We will continue here with a little more from Ademo Freeman as he wrote from jail. Was he wrong, he asks, in his previous viewpoint of anger and hatred toward the police. You can share your thoughts and your experience as well. If you want to weigh in here, our number, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com recently reported Bitcoin transaction fees have increased by more than 1,200% since 2015. To many Bitcoin proponents, the current fee market is moving way too fast, making Bitcoin unusable for certain transactions. The fee market and slow confirmation times have also increased the tension concerning the block size debate. However, if there are wallets with low amounts of Bitcoin that can't cover the fees, they become virtually unspendable. Learn more at news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up anything that you want, your perspective on communicating with the police. And Ademo Freeman from copblock.org has written what I consider to be an excellent article where he talks about kind of his personal evolution that he's been going through recently on how to feel about the police, how to kind of think about them, look at them, to communicate with them. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
Melanie is the resident angry at cops person on
well,
Free Talk Live.
I mean, I would distinguish between angry at cops and hating cops. I am less angry at cops since.
So you hate them more than you are.
I don't know if there's more and less hatred. I mean, to me, anger is a feels and hatred is a position.
I think it's a pretty good argument, okay. Actually.
So you're saying your anger has lessened?
Yeah, because I mean, and it's not in my face, and maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. I don't know. It's not in my face. I don't have to deal with it as much. Not that I was dealing with it as much as a lot of people are anyway, but...
So you moved here to New Hampshire from Louisiana, and you've detected a difference between the police in the South and
here? Oh, yeah, it's definitely different.
And is this from your own personal interactions with them, or just seeing less of them on the streets? Like, what is the difference? What's the palpable things that you have noticed?
I haven't really had too many interactions with them, and when I have, it was... I don't want to say my fault, but I wasn't avoiding them. I haven't been victimized by them per se since I've been up here. I do see way less of them. And when I do see them, like, they kind of... And I understand that I'm, like, an educated white woman, so maybe different people have different experiences, but from what I can tell, at least, they don't, like... They're more lawful evil, I guess, than chaotic evil. They don't seem to, from what I can tell, distinguish between groups of people that they like. And I'm sure that they do to some extent, but it's not as blatant. Maybe it's just not as blatant. I don't know. But, you know, I've seen every model car pulled over on the side of the road, not just your older, more broken-looking cars. I haven't seen them harass people at random. I have seen them harass people. Most of the time, it was people who were kind of planning for it. Not that they deserved it, but kind of knew that that was going to happen. For the most part,
there is a difference between the police up here and my experience down south. I remember going back down to Florida after living here for 6 years in New Hampshire and just being struck at how many cops there were everywhere. And I doubt, you know, maybe there are a lot more over that six-year time frame, but I suspect it was always like that. It's just that I grew up there, so I didn't really, you know, I didn't really realize how much of a presence they had. When I finally saw that, it was when I'd lived here for 6 years and then went back down there. It was like every intersection, I swear to you, I looked over and there was a cop.
Oh, at least one. And yeah. I mean, it's noticeably different. And it's not like I was, you know, taking stats when I was down there, but it is noticeably different.
Right.
There were so many less up here.
Here it's not uncommon. I would say it is typical to be able to drive from Keene, New Hampshire in the southwestern corner of the state to Concord, as we're going to do tomorrow to testify on a Bitcoin bill, to drive to Concord and see zero police officers on the drive there. You might be more likely to see them in Concord and in Keene, so like in the metro
city. Yeah, I was
going
to say that, as I don't really notice what you're talking about as a lack of police. I see them just about every day that I go to Keene, too.
Yeah, but you're talking about when you see them in Keene. I'm saying on the road between here and Concord.
I'm willing to concede that. Look, yeah. I've never, you know, my interactions with the police have generally not been terrible, and that's pretty funny thing to say for a guy who's been in prison. I mean, I've had worse and better ones, and oftentimes I've felt like they haven't served. And recently, when I've called them to deal with a crazy caller, I haven't, you know, they haven't done anything. So I really haven't felt like I've been served in that
way.
Well,
as we know, they have no obligation to protect you.
If I had a hate for anyone, and that's, I guess that's the position as opposed to the feeling, is that it would be government generally. Now, I will agree with you that the police are the, you know, the tip of the spear when it comes to the government, but you know, I mean, most of them are just low-level functionaries trying to do their jobs.
Well, right, but if you had to pick between them and their victims, which is what hate is about and which is not what anger is about, then if you're choosing the victims over them, then you're like, the reason I want bad things to happen to cops is so that they quit oppressing people. Because once you're dead, you can't oppress people anymore. Once you're locked in a cage, by if you're by yourself, you can't oppress people anymore. If you're
mostly the people that the cops are bothering, the thing is I don't have a high estimation of humanity generally. So therefore, I don't have a particularly high estimation of cops, but I don't have a high estimation of their victims either. A lot of the people with whom the police are dealing were driving recklessly, by my estimation. They are, careless. Just a whole bunch of things that got them caught in the first place. And, cry me a river. I got better things to do than worry about
them. Well, and up here, that might be true for a good part of it, but that's not true everywhere.
All right.
Okay, but back to what you were saying, Melanie, as far as, like, you want to see the cops dead or in a cage. I understand where you're coming from, but ultimately, what we've seen is when there have been times when cops have been killed, and that has resulted in more cops being recruited into those jobs.
Right,
and
but we've
more
never
likely,
seen it happen on a sustained basis. And hey, if my options are convert all the cops or kill all the cops, I'd rather convert them.
Okay.
But as long as that's not on the table, if the options are, and this isn't really an option because there's no practical way to do this that I'm aware of at the time, if the options are I can get rid of the oppressor or I can watch the victims keep being oppressed, I have to side with the victims. And that doesn't even have... I'm not saying that, wouldn't necessarily feel good, but that's really not about emotions. That's about I have two groups of people. One of them's committing an action. One of them's a victim. And I have to pick between the two.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the button and I could...
No button. You're just at war is what you are. And they don't know that necessarily you're at war with them. But that's
if they're listening, they know
that's the state at which you are existing. You're like, and I don't feel that way. I'm not at war. I'm, attempting to spread the ideas of liberty to police, government bureaucrats, and the public at large in the hopes that we can have a world one day, hopefully tomorrow, but unlikely, where there is more freedom and more prosperity for everybody. And the lack of police tomorrow isn't going to make for a better America, okay? The dumb butts that they're pulling over on the side of the road are going to be just as stupid tomorrow. We need education and responsibility before you get rid of a monopoly.
Right, which is why I'm on the radio and writing online and not shooting cops.
thank goodness.
But, I mean, and even in kind of communication and education, you could say, and I don't think you said this, but you can set, and some people do say this, that you're just going to try to reach everybody, and that's kind of not an option.
Yeah,
different people are responding to different people will respond to different things. So if you pick one format, people who are going to not respond to that format are going to respond to something else or not respond at all.
Yeah, what you put out there is what you track.
Some of them are like mutually,
right?
And a lot of styles are mutually exclusive.
Right. You can have the hate-filled screed, or you can have the convincing dialogue, but you can't have both. A hate-filled
screed. Well, no, you could have hate-filled logic. that's been done.
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that, where you're coming from is going to attract a certain type of person.
Right.
Right. And that's definitely true. What you put out there in the world is what you will attract to yourself. And so that's why somebody like Chris Cantwell puts out a bunch of hate, and he attracts some very hate-filled people around him. The toll-free
number. Right, but hate-filled people can convert and be good anarchists.
They can. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, but they shouldn't stay in a place of hate because it's not good. Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us right here. Our number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you may Skype in here at username lrn.fm. Tonight in studio, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We're talking about anger and hatred and the police and activists and where people are coming from and the possibility to change one's perspective, as Ademo Freeman sounds like he has done. As he had sat in a jail cell for several weeks earlier this year. He just got out probably like a week or two ago. And he wrote an article entitled Was I Wrong? And we're going to get back into that coming up here in moments. Your thoughts, your calls are certainly welcome. And how'd you like to try out what might be the best pillow you'll ever use? Nearly risk-free. You can do it for 60 days with MyPillow. You go to MyPillow.com and use code FTL. You'll get your MyPillow at half price. It's a great pillow because it's designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. And it really works at that. Plus, it's also washable. You can put it in your washer and the dryer. It's designed for that. It's an amazing product, and you can try it for yourself. Get half off by using code FTL, like Free Talk Live, code FTL at MyPillow.com. You get one for half off or two for the price of one. It is up to you. And if for some reason you decide you don't like it, you can send it back within that first 60 days, and you'll get your purchase price refunded to you. Plus, if you keep it, as we've done, the pillow is guaranteed to last for 10 years. So MyPillow really stands behind their product. It's always nice to, you know, when a business really puts, you know, their money where their mouth is, so to speak here. MyPillow.com, code FTL for half out.
It's a great pillow. There's no doubt about it.
All right. So you can join us here at 855-450-FREE. A little bit more here from Adamo Freeman over at copblock.org. He's quoting some Gandhi. And I'm just going to read this this most recent quote here. He's got two that he's sharing from Gandhi. After he was attacked, Gandhi was, by a British crowd and government agents in South Africa in the late 1800s, he wrote, quote, "I hope God will give me the courage and sense to forgive them and to refrain from bringing them to law. I have no anger against them. I'm only sorry for their ignorance and their narrowness. I know that they sincerely believe what they are doing today is right and proper. I have no reason, therefore, to be angry with them." Well, I mean, there's always a reason to be angry. I mean, anybody who is angry will always have all kinds of justifications for their anger. So it's easy to justify that particular emotion. But I agree with Gandhi here that it is more productive for you to pity that person. So sort of on the scale of emotions going from anger to love, or from hatred to love, whichever way you want to look at that, pity is a step up from anger.
Well, I think the most productive thing for you would be to not have any feelings for them at all, one
whatsoever.
Way or the other. And just because not having feelings or even having pity for them is more productive for you doesn't mean that's where you're at. And going and finding someone who's being extremely victimized by the cops at the time, even that, like, literally that second, but generally in their day-to-day life, and telling them that it's more productive for them to be happy and go meditate is kind of asinine. Like, that's not, unless you're going to show them how to do that and take them through that process, and I don't think that any of us have degrees in clinical psychology, then that's, you're not helping, you're just kind of making smart comments.
No, I agree with you. You can't lead a horse to water and, you know, force him to drink, right?
I'm going to go ahead and say that meditating when you have some kind of issue that's bothering you is a good idea.
It's a good idea, but what she's saying is you can't force that on somebody.
Well, and I'm not even saying you can't force that on somebody. I'm saying unless you're going to actually show them how to do it, taking someone who has little coping skills and is victimized on a daily basis, or almost weekly basis or whatever.
But you could be
just
willing to show them.
Telling them to meditate without actually...
Yeah, that's not helpful. I agree with you. You can be willing to show somebody, but most of the time someone in that position isn't even interested in hearing it. They're not interested in learning meditation. They're not interested in hearing anything about being more positive or, you know, loving or pitying somebody. They're not even receptive.
They might not understand why that's a productive thing to do. And that might just be where they're at. And maybe that's not the most optimal place for them to be at, but if I have somebody who's at a place that's suboptimal and I have the person who's, you know, making death threats against, credible death threats in person against them on a weekly basis, and I go to the person who's being, you know, maybe not as happy as they should and start telling them what they should do different, like, I think most people can understand why that doesn't make you come off as... Even if that is your goal, doesn't necessarily make you come off as wanting to help that person because you're kind of focusing.
Yeah. You have to be able to meet somebody where they are. And if somebody's in a place of anger and you're, you know, coming at the police from a place of forgiveness and love, that is not going to work. You're not going to be able to communicate effectively to that angry person.
Which is why, in those types of media, I think, are valuable to people who need that. And the "we hate cops and this is why" types of media are valuable. And it, I mean, he said shock value. It's not necessarily shock value. I mean, I wasn't looking for libertarian philosophy when I found libertarian philosophy. I was looking for someone to hate on cops with.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the, you know, you have the places you're just like, yeah, we hate cops. Why? Because. Like, okay, that's whatever. But, you know, if you're going to have the philosophy along with it.
As most of the time you'll see from copblock.org, there generally are libertarians who are running that organization at the higher levels.
Yeah, and it's not the only method, but it is a method, and it does reach some people. And, I mean, I admit to probably taking this a little bit more personally than I really should. I don't think I ever would have converted without the, you know, F the police type messages out there.
Well, those messages aren't going to go away. And so I see what you're saying, and I agree with you. These different types of messaging reach different groups of people.
Well, my argument for the more calm and, you know, reasoned isn't the right terminology. The more calmed and convincing sort of message is that, A, it's more effective on a larger group of people, and B, it doesn't destroy the preacher of that message from the inside.
All right, well, let's continue with your calls and thoughts. We got Hung Like Jesus. He's on the line via Skype. Go ahead, Hung. You're calling from Georgia.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, hang on. I got some sort of news feed going on in the background. Okay, we got you now. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, why people continue to quote Gandhi or look up to Gandhi for any other reason is something I just have never understood. Gandhi was a huge anti-black racist.
Was he?
Highly documented, and I still understand why people still quote him.
Well, nobody's perfect. I mean, there's definitely I know.
But that's
your
response to racism. Nobody's perfect.
I do understand. No,
excellent.
No, my response to racism is that racism is not acceptable. That's why we kicked Chris Cantwell off this show. But as far as, you know, somebody who has a viewpoint that does not 100% agree with me doesn't mean that they haven't said useful, wise things.
Well, I mean, you know,
would you be quoting Hitler?
I'm sorry, you guys are both talking over one another. What was that, Hung?
I couldn't make it past the racist part, so whatever you said after that would just escape me.
So right, I mean, so would you be on here quoting Hitler because he said some good things, or would you say, no, that was a racist POS, let me not quote him?
Okay. Let's just say that Hitler has a whole lot worse, you know, public persona as far, you know, compared to Gandhi. I don't think most people are aware that Gandhi was racist. It's something I didn't find out until, like, the 5 years ago, basically. And
yeah, it looks like it's been whitewashed, but that's the case. Thanks for bringing that up, Hung. I would say that if I had to rebut it, and it's difficult to rebut, but I would say that if I had to, that Martin Luther King Jr. used Gandhi's philosophy to create his own very successful philosophy. And, you know, not only have I read that, but I actually spoke with his roommate from Boston College and said that that was so. So, I mean, well, you know, that's the best rebuttal I got.
Well, that's in question as well. And another one is Abraham Lincoln. Why Obama idolizes him is also beyond me. But anyway, what I called for is, you know, sometimes this work, you have to be built for it. And by that, I mean, some people they can take it through the long haul and some people can't. Until you're tested, you really don't know what you're made out of. And you know, and if I'm speaking out of turn, please let me know, because I didn't hear the first part of the show. I just came in when I heard Gandhi. So I don't, and I was trying to read the article that Ademo had written, but I hadn't got a chance to. But when you're tested, that really shows the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to really show who's going to be in it for the long haul. Like I said, everybody's not built for it, and like I said, until you're tested, you'll never know.
No, I agree with that.
When 100%.
It's one thing to say one thing about, you know, love and forgiveness. It's another thing to be, you know, to have that pressure put on in an instant and, you know, see how you actually respond. No doubt about it.
You know, it's certain things that I can't do. I can't do public protests because I'm not built for it.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Me either.
Because you'll get too angry?
Yeah, I get so angry. I remember an instance where Ian and I were at an event and a friend got arrested and I wanted to punch somebody. And I realized...
And that would not have helped the situation.
It wouldn't have at all.
Yeah. Hey, Hung, if you got more to say, stand by. We can bring you back for that. If not, thank you for the call. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join us as well at 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live, Hour 2 on the way. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and one with just the Edgington Post. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free and join us right here as we launch into the second hour of the program to bring you up to speed. We have been sharing a piece from copblock.org founder Ademo Freeman about a bit of a personal journey that he has found himself on since being arrested most recently in Warren County, Ohio. That is where he was arrested for transporting, allegedly, 26 pounds of marijuana and is facing felony charges for that. While he was in jail, he kind of had, an enlightening experience, picked up a book with some Gandhi quotes in it, and it really resonated with him, given that he had also met, I believe, a lady friend who was sort of coming at things from a similar peaceful perspective. With you in the studio here tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
So we've been talking about moving from hatred and anger for the oppressor to pitying them, forgiveness. Coming at things from a completely different perspective. As Gandhi points out here, he says that this was right after he was attacked by a crowd of people and government agents in South Africa. He says, "I hope God will give me the courage and sense to forgive them and refrain from bringing them to law," which is something you hear a lot in the liberty community, is they want to punish the cops and the politicians and, put them in prison cells or put them to death. And I just feel like, these are our confused brothers and sisters, and they're doing the wrong thing, and they should be given a chance, to do the right thing on their own volition, and we should be willing to forgive these folks, even though
right,
many of them
have
done.
Right, if they stop oppressing people, I have no problem with cops who are people who used to be cops or NSA agents or any of the things that some people used to be, and they stop doing it.
So you don't want to see them get put to death for the terrible things they've done in the past or have to spend time in prison?
No, I mean, it's kind of a waste of time and counterproductive at that point. Now, I've also never been a victim of anything particularly heinous, so that's really not up to me, but I don't see a point in, and I mean, I understand that's really easy for me to say, right? But I don't see a point in doing that, at least from a strategic standpoint, and especially since there's people who are actively aggressing. If we have people who stopped, I'll treat it as long as once I've established that they're not like still undercover or anything like that, I'm not going to treat them differently than anybody else, as long as they're not glorifying their past behavior. Because retiring is different than converting. So
I'm not sure that I agree with that. There are plenty of people I've met in the military that finished up their, 20-year stint so that they could get their pension or whatever, even if they had come to the ideas of liberty. So I can see why somebody would choose to take the path of least resistance to retirement.
If I'm dealing with somebody who is retired rather than if I'm dealing with a former cop rather than an ex-cop. So if you were a cop for 30 years and then retired and are still glorifying cops and defending that behavior.
Right. Or are you sorry
right.
for what you did?
Those are two different things. Those are two different people, and I'm going to treat them differently.
So like Barry Cooper, who is a former cop that is, has now joined the side of good and is advocating to help keep people out of prison. He created NeverGetBusted.com and has, been doing amazing work.
Right, and I mean, people are allowed to repent. Like, I'm not like, oh, you did a bad thing. I mean, none of us would be, myself included.
Least of all me.
I supported statism for so many years, which pretty much means I've killed people. Like, you're allowed to repent, but if
How
you're
does
still doing
it. How does supporting statism mean you've killed people?
Because the state kills people.
Yeah, so you're saying by proxy in that you advocated
for... And I mean, I've advocated specifically for, in the past, things like the drug war and the war on terror and all these other literal wars
so you
where
feel
people
responsible
actually die.
For
so
it.
I'm not any less guilty than somebody, like Adam Kokesh, who's actually pulled the trigger. But if you repent and stop doing it, especially if you work against it, which I don't know is really a requirement per se, but
it's nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, makes you feel better maybe, but yeah, there's no reason to go after somebody like that.
Okay. I'm glad to hear you say that. Hung Like Jesus is still with us here on from Georgia on Skype. Now, Hung, you had talked about how you can't go to protests. You can't get out in the streets with, let's say, copblock.org because you just get too hot and bothered. Can you tell us about maybe some experience you've had there?
You know, I've had a it's been a while now since I've had an experience with the public protest, but just the lead ups to it and maybe post protests when I'm involved, you know, I just know I can't. And it's nothing specific I can tell you specifically that I can tell you. I know I'm an emotional person. I've always been an emotional person. I'm always taking things emotionally. So I can't separate the two because it's a part of me. And with that, you know, the anger comes and the extreme anger comes. And I just don't like the state and I don't like cops. And, you know, I just can't hide that. But I've always admired people who were pacifists and who could look the other way or turn the other cheek. Not that I want to be that, but I've always looked up to them. Even you, Ian, in some years now, I've looked up to you because you're able to do it. You're able to come at people a whole lot different than how I could have.
It took practice, though. I mean, I was pretty angry in the beginning, and
a hard time imagining that. I'm sorry.
Imagining me being angry.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I mean, I believe you. It just is such a weird concept to me.
Yeah, like I'm the angry one now. Yeah. It didn't used to be that way.
You see, as I get older, my patience is getting thinner.
Indeed, right? Like the world's full of morons. Why in the world do I waste my time on them?
Well, for me, it was actually getting out in the streets that helped change that for me. You know, because it's easy to get angry when you are, you know, just seeing all the bad news and the cops killing dogs and, you know, all kinds of terrible headlines and stories and video. And it's another thing entirely when you're actually out there and you still see bad things happening. You know, people frequently in the college neighborhoods being harassed by the police, arrested for, you know, underage possession and things like that. You know, when I was able to actually connect with the police officers themselves as human beings, it kind of helped break down a wall, so to speak. And combining that with some psychedelic journeys, I guess you could say that that kind of helped me come to the understanding that love was far more powerful and much more desirable thing to focus on. But it did take a deliberate effort on my part to be like that. And I think one of the times that I like to point to the best examples of how I kind of handled this in real life in the streets was when the Fat Stuff store got raided back in, I think it was 2014 here in Keene. It's no longer here. They moved out to Vermont. But the store was a head shop on Main Street in Keene, and the DEA conducted a simultaneous raid of about 200 different head shops and other, you know, like bong manufacturers and things like that on one day, basically. They just all across the country zeroed in on these businesses, and one of their targets was Fat Stuff on Main Street here in Keene. And unlike the other 200 or so raids that happened across the country, we got all kinds of footage, and you know, we were there on the scene for this thing as it was going down. We caught wind that it was happening. Me and Garrett Ian, who was one of the other Robin Hooders and activists in the area at the time, we spent 4 solid hours down there, you know, recording video and giving those DEA agents the worst time that they probably will ever experience in their careers as far as, you know, conducting a raid.
Made them not want to come back to New Hampshire.
That was my intention. I was not kind to those people. We were giving it to them pretty hard, you know, letting them know they were not wanted around here.
And this is coming from the person who was being nice to the cops as they were armed robbing him.
Right.
But what I wanted to say was that it was the way I treated the Keene police, who were assisting they were like guarding the front door, basically. They weren't carting out any of the product from the store,
okay,
but they were assisting.
No, the guy who holds the door open in agreement with the people taking your TV, not the TV in this case, but people taking stuff out of your house, they are also committing armed robbery.
I agree with you. But the way I handled the Keene police was different than the way I handled the DEA agents. I didn't want the DEA agents, you know, these are not my neighbors. These are, you know, an armed gang that has come in from outside. I don't care about, you know, talking nice to them or converting them. But when I was talking with the Keene police, it was much more of like a kind shaming is sort of the demeanor that I put on, like, tisk tisk.
Local from federal. To me, cop is a cop. But listen,
yeah, but there's some of them are my neighbors, and then some of them are total strangers from Washington, D.C.
I want to hear what he has to say.
Hold on. We'll bring you back one more time here. More with Hung Like Jesus in moments. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You may join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and you can Skype into the show here at username lrn.fm. Also, I do want to let you know that Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. If you're buying Bitcoin, you can do that through Bitcoin.com. If you want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users, the Bitcoin.com forum is always open and censorship-free at forum.bitcoin.com. There are no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team, and that's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything that you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games over at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And we're back with Hung Like Jesus. He's on the line in Georgia on via Skype. Hung, we were running out to the break there as you were trying to get a thought out, so please go ahead.
Like I was saying, I was just saying I can't separate cops. To me, you know, a cop is just a cop, no matter where they live or what uniform they wear. But anyway, to give you some background on that, is both my parents, when I was growing up, both were heavily into activism. And my father was actually a Black Panther. And our house was kind of like a hub where they would do flyers. And, of course, they would have meals there. Mm-hmm. And I've seen what cops do. You know, I seen them come in and just harass. And I got this from when I was really young. I mean, even before I was in school, even I saw how cops treated people, Black people in particular. And you know, and that just stayed with me. And I see it now every time that I see a cop. You know, they're just a-holes to me, cops. No matter how nice they may be, no matter what they're saying to me now, I know what they really feel, or at least I think I know what they really feel. So yeah, I just and
well,
like
they,
I said,
they didn't really feel it, they wouldn't have joined that particular gang. I mean.
Well, you know, some people become cops because they actually want to stop, you know, real crime.
And
from,
if that's
from happening.
All they do, they don't stay cops for long. Second. Even if that's true, they don't stay cops for long if that's all they do.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
How do you grow up in America and not know what a cop is? Like, yeah. That's the part that doesn't make sense.
Well, what? Let me ask you this. I mean, you know, one's reasonably certain that the Black guys that that become cops aren't looking to harass their friends and neighbors, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because, you know,
I met some.
Hold on, let him answer.
this mythical good cop is something I have never come across because, you know, how is it you have good cops but they keep their mouths closed when the bad cops are doing what they do? I mean, you may hear some speak out every once in a while, but not nearly enough.
I agree with you. There's definitely there's a lot to be desired when it comes to the police. There's no doubt about that.
And the people who I went to law school with who either were cops or were trying to become prosecutors were not there because they thought that cops were all... Well, I mean, I guess they did think that cops were awesome people, but it wasn't because they had any deluded ideas about what a cop was. It was because they wanted to clean up where they came from, and they didn't really care who they hurt in the process. So, yeah, you would have to be schizophrenic to grow up in the States and not know what a cop is. I mean, that is pretty basic. It's a basic survival skill to the point where if you don't know it well enough, you're going to die.
And also notice about police. Police, their origins is in slave catching, too. So
yes.
That's true. Yeah,
for people
no
who don't believe that, they can. I believe it's University of Eastern Kentucky. They can look at the white paper on that.
Hung Like Jesus, thanks for the call and your thoughts tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. And the toll-free number, if you want to join us here, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Look, you know, I get all of that. I think those. I'm with you on a lot of the critique. I totally understand. But on the other hand, having actually, you know, I've gone on a police ride along with Shane Maxfield here in Keene. And for me, that was one of those experiences which helped change my perspective.
Right, and I'm not saying that a cop can't pretend to be human. They are genetically human, but they can't, you know, act like a human long enough to convince a couple people that they're really good people. But they also stand in the jail in St. Tammany and threaten a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old with 1 or 2-year-old with life imprisonment because they felt like it. So that's what they are.
Well,
that's what they
to
do.
But wait, you're falling into the collectivist trap here to say that because some cop in the jail in St. Tammany.
It's an organization that you join. You join that organization,
but that doesn't
has set goals.
But that doesn't mean that all cops are cut from the exact same cloth, that, you know, somebody who's right. threatening a child in St. Tammany jail
somebody
doesn't mean that every cop would do that same thing.
Somebody whose pants hang around their butt did X. Therefore, everyone whose pants hang around their butt must
be somebody who joined the cops or the Crips or the Bloods or the FBI as a member of that organization, which is an action that you take. It's not
wearing your pants around your butt is an action.
But
that
what
you
if
take.
You believe that?
Else.
Wait, what if you believe that you were going to change the system from the inside? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Then you would have got fired really quick. And and there are people who do that, and I think those people are insane. But they either get disappeared or fired very quickly.
Toll free number here 855-450-free. Let's go to what's the frequency, Kenneth? I think he's in Colorado. Are you in Colorado?
That's correct.
All right.
Been a long time.
Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, it has. I've got a kind of a nuanced view of flat earthers.
Oh, man.
And I hope I'm not the first one to call on it today. I'm sorry if I am.
You are. You are. All right, let's hear it.
First of all, a little bit of background. I am an engineer. I did work for rocket scientists. I think you probably could guess what my view is just from having said that.
So you're part of the conspiracy is what you're saying.
Of course I am. I also learned how to use a sextant. I know where the stars are. At least I used to. I know how the sun and the moon work. I know why satellites stay in space and so on and so forth. But I just wanted to start with that.
For listeners that don't know, maybe you're just tuning in, we've had an influx of these flat earthers calling in, and it's been absolutely ridiculous. That's the best summary I can give you. Go ahead with your thoughts there.
Okay. What I want to say about flat earthers is I think they're a combination of A, obviously really stupid people, and B, sophisticated trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they tend to do, you know, the typical debates between science and religion, some of the more nuanced views of science and religion will be that they're both based on faith. You got to have faith in somebody or something, or you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And of course, you can experience things for yourselves, and that's real science, folks. What I want to say is that these people, I think the really sophisticated ones have caught on to that. And I think they're demonstrating that the vast majority of us take what we understand as scientific principles on faith. And we can't argue our way out of a paper bag. I can.
Well, that's not really the same thing, because some things you have evidence of and some things you don't. This doesn't work because I believe real hard.
She's holding a
phone
up.
Most people don't actually have that evidence. They've been told by people that they believe have experienced this, that, and the other thing. There are some basic things, obviously. You can watch Archimedes or somebody said he knew the world was round because he could see the sails on the horizon after the hull of the boat was gone, and so on and so forth. There is some reasoning that everybody can use, but if you get into the nitty-gritty, it requires almost all science requires some faith. And I think that's really what the trolls
are driving for. If it requires faith, then it's not science. No,
that's absolutely
true. Science is a method of experimentation.
Hold that thought.
Yeah, no.
Let's get back into this here. Yeah, if you can stick with us, what's the frequency, Kenneth? We will return with more of you. 855-450-FREE if you want to join us on Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight in studio, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We've got Skype. You can Skype into the show here at username lrn.fm. And I also want to let you know about how to save big time on web hosting. Now, you can get 50% off by using the URL hostgator.com/FTL. That's /FTL like Free Talk Live. That gets you the 50% off deal from one of the top hosting companies out there, Hostgator. They make it super easy, by the way. So if one of the reasons you've not started your own website or blog is because you think it might be too complicated, well, they've got a simple one-click easy installation for WordPress, 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support, and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. You add to that a 99.99% uptime rating, and you get a heck of a deal for 50% off by going to hostgator.com/FTL. That's just for you as a Free Talk Live listener. Hostgator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. As we go back to What's the Frequency, Kenneth, he's talking about science. In the sort of the context of these trolls slash true believers of the flat earth, which have been calling in last night. It was like an onslaught of them. It was obviously a concerted calling attempt on their part. Anyway, go ahead with what you were saying, Kenneth.
Well, the major thesis I wanted to bring to the table was the idea that most of us believe most of what we believe based on faith, even if it was generated using science. And this can actually be depicted by all these people who know what they know simply because somebody told them and science says so.
Okay, and that I think is a little bit more accurate, although I don't think it's entirely accurate, because you have evidence of things that science says. When I turn on electronics, they work. Drive my car, it works. So I have evidence of that. Whereas,
yeah, but God created the beasts in the air and the birds of the beasts of the land and the birds of the air, and there's beasts and birds. So there's evidence.
That's not evidence of the statement.
At some point, you believe that the technologists and the scientists they work with are being honest about how the stuff that they give you works. Mm-hmm. Most people are not engineers and they're not scientists, and they can demonstrate their extreme ignorance. I hear Mark ask them questions that baffle them every time they call in since Mark's been on, and he demonstrates that. I think Mark gets the gist of what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I can make it very clear.
So influence on my religious views.
Thank you very much. So I think that I can demonstrate it. For instance, the Big Bang Theory. At this point, that's generally what's accepted as the creation of the universe. All matter, Big Bang Theory states, all matter was contained in a space the size right. of a softball. Okay,
it's preposterous on its face, but it may be true.
Right, it may very well be true. It's true. Like all the atoms.
It's a theory.
In all the
It's true that it's a theory.
It's true that that's what they're claiming, right? All the atoms in all the hundreds of billions of universes.
Yeah.
That are out there containing themselves.
The multiverse is not really a theory at this point.
Okay. Well, but
wait,
the
now
universe,
we're talking about multiverses. Hold on.
I'm only
he said billions of universes. He said
I'm sorry, galaxies. I meant to say galaxies. Okay. I'm sorry. Galaxies and billions of galaxies containing hundreds of billions of stars. All that matter was contained in an area the size of a softball, which was probably really, really hot and really, really dense, right? Just like they say in the Big Bang Theory's opening song. That is the theory as it is presented to me. Now, I can't test that. I don't have the time or energy to become an astrophysicist to ever really hunt it down, come up with another theory, or any of those other things. I have to take on faith from the scientists who have you know, purported this theory and done the work, because I'm not going to spend much time on it. I'm going to have to take on faith what they say. They believe very thoroughly, and I can choose to believe it or not believe it. And that that makes them the new high priests.
That's a false dichotomy, and I don't know why you would affirmatively believe something that you can't even understand and definitely have no evidence of. I'm not saying there's no evidence of it. I'm saying that I don't think anyone in this room has evidence of the Big Bang. Because
everybody believes these things on faith, Melanie.
Okay, well, if that's what
everybody
they're doing,
most of what they believe on faith.
Okay, and that might be true, but then that just means they're
most
wrong.
Of what they believe. No, what I'm saying
right.
is people are calling other people stupid about things that they don't really know. What was it that movie where they went after the aliens that got loose, Men in Black, where they said all the things you know today that aren't true and all the things you don't know today that you'll find out are true tomorrow? Well, that's where we are. That's where science is. And there's so many of us that are not on the cutting edge of any particular area of science. It's ridiculous for us to believe we know what science isn't even sure about, really, and finds itself wrong about all the time.
Right, that is ridiculous, which is why you should believe something more like, this is the best explanation science has, so I guess it makes some kind of sense, but I can't say it's true because I don't know enough about particle physics to have an opinion on the details of the Big Bang, versus this is 100% true because this is the most recent explanation science has come up with. Those are two different things.
You should take everything with a grain of salt, including the latest science.
Sure, I get you there. I mean, especially when it comes to whatever's on the cutting edge or theories.
Yeah,
but we're not talking about
the round earth isn't exactly cutting edge.
The spherical earth is not, you know, we don't have to question that because people have seen it.
Isaac Newton was right for 300 years about gravity and the way the universe works. Until he was subtly wrong.
Yep, subtly wrong, yep.
Well, if he was wrong the whole time.
And same thing goes for Einstein until he was shown with quantum mechanics that he was subtly wrong.
Right. I agree with you. That's the process of science is to take what is commonly believed and poke holes in it and find what's wrong with it. I mean, that's part of the whole scientific
method. Well,
and the other
thing about science doesn't make declarations. So if people are believing what they take as a declaration, that's not even science.
Science is a beautiful method that tells us very well what we got, a really good idea that we know, a really good idea, because we've seen it, we've tried to disprove it, we've proven a hypothesis or disproven it, but if we haven't been the ones who did it, we don't really know.
Yeah, that's true, which is why, you do have to take people's word for it unless you yourself have actually seen the curvature of the earth, and it's not that hard to do that, right? Like, you go up in an airplane.
Just a little bit of it.
Huh?
Yeah. That's just a little piece of it, right? I mean, frankly, I'm satisfied that anybody can shine a laser at the moon if you got one, and if you got a big enough telescope, and you can see the light come back. That's pretty good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that how does that prove that the moon is round in particular, though?
Well, that doesn't prove it's round.
Okay,
no, that proves that they put the reflector there.
Oh, I see. The reflector is that means they went to it. I suppose you could take the laser, and if you could measure the distance the laser goes, then you could see that, just pop it in a few different places and see that it appears to be at least half round. If you
I believe
prove
they've
round.
Proven that the moon, how much the distance from the Earth, it varies based on using that reflector.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you for the call tonight. What's the frequency, Kenneth? I appreciate the discussion. And we've touched on this before. I think, Mark, you'd made this his general point, and that is that most of what we believe about science comes from so-called experts, and we have taken those experts at their word. And frequently, of course, a lot of that stuff is proven not to be true as time goes on, thanks to the scientific process. But these people have been calling about the flat Earth. They have a hypothesis. They have a theory, but they don't have any evidence. They're just like, oh, yeah, I believe that beyond Antarctica, there's a whole lot of land out there.
Infinite land was the claim. which is fascinating to me. Does that mean we have infinite land down, or does it in fact float around on the back of a turtle?
Right, so basically...
Now, that has been postulated in the past.
Yeah, so I mean... All of the evidence is the Earth is globular, but ultimately
it's a flat, like a pancake.
It's round like an orange. It's a flat like a pancake. It's a round like an orange.
The toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. So the flat earthers don't have any evidence. They just have a bunch of conspiracy theory. And so that's why they're, you know, there's no science involved in that. It's just a conspiracy theory movement. And how many of them are real versus how many of them are the expert trolls that he was referring to? I don't know. That's up to you to decide. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, join us on the radio waves here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And if you want to help support Free Talk Live, one of the best ways to do it and get the stuff you want to buy online is to go to shop.freetalklive.com. You're probably going to do your shopping at Amazon anyway because it's, you know, a great place to shop. But if you go through shop.freetalklive.com, you get the same great Amazon experience you're used to with a huge selection, the free Super Saver shipping, Amazon Prime, and all that. It's just that when you enter through our links there at shop.freetalklive.com, Free Talk Live gets a portion of your purchase. So if you want to give Amazon all of the profits, then just go through their regular site. If you want to help Free Talk Live, go to shop.freetalklive.com, and they'll cut us usually like 7 or 8% of pretty much everything that you'll buy there, which is awesome. So it makes a big difference for us. And there's Amazon UK, Canada, and US. So you just go into the right Amazon for you, wherever you are in the world, and it helps Free Talk Live. Start your shopping at shop.freetalklive.com as we continue with your calls and your thoughts. Don is in Tampa, Florida, listening online. Hello, Don.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I know you don't want to talk about the flat earth, but I was just curious about one thing that people that believe in the flat earth would. I just wonder what their theory is about if the earth's flat, do they believe that there's just waterfall at the end and just water continuously falls off?
My understanding with the gentleman that we were speaking with last night is that if you were to take the globe, right, and you push down on the Arctic and you allow Antarctica to spin out, essentially you have a continent at the bottom of that surrounds the edge of a circular map.
That's all ice, they believe.
Well, no, it's all round. It's all land. I mean, Antarctica's not ice. It's land. Ice-covered land.
Yeah. Well, they believe that there's like an ice wall, basically, that, you know, blocks.
Yeah. And
as
then,
I understand it.
One of the gentlemen who called in said, presumably there's land beyond this ice wall that is being kept. These are why our keepers don't want us to know about the all that extra land, because this way they can keep, you know, make they land can, scarce and make it more valuable or whatever it is that they
can
claim.
Keep a bunch of empty land or something.
Yeah, something. And
as though that's valuable.
That's the idea. So we're all surrounded on a round globe by a, there's cold in the middle and cold all around the fringes, but it's like a big warm donut in the middle.
Well, and you're talking about people who still believe that the earth is flat, so I wouldn't necessarily expect a coherent explanation to much.
They don't still believe the world is flat. They've adopted the theory.
Well, no, but people who still believe it now. So that might have been a reasonable thought at some point. I don't know, but this is not like now.
Running out and contracting mental smallpox. This was eradicated from the face of the earth, the notion that the world was flat. And these guys went out and got it and brought it back.
Yes, sir.
Like, if you went from California all the way to Japan and all the way back around through Europe and then to the East Coast, how did, like, you could do that without falling off the earth and you can go all the way around it. How would they explain that?
They don't think that the map ends cuts through between Russia and Alaska. They think that in fact,
they think it's contiguous, like a record.
The edge of the it's circular, right? So the map is circular, and all of it, all the edges are in Antarctica.
Yeah, that's the best we can do to explain it. I'm sure if you want, there's all kinds of websites you can go look at.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. Hey, I love your show, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, Don. Oh, phew. I get a little nervous when I see Flat Earth in the call screening section. I'm like, oh, God, not another one. But he was actually a good call. Toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE.
Well, I'm getting tagged in some of these Flat Earth posts, and they're at least
happy
that we're taking their calls.
No, that's what we do here on Free Talk Live. We will take phone calls from anybody with any crackpot theory. Let's continue here with your calls and thoughts. We have Liberty Lover in Ohio. He's on Skype.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's on your mind tonight?
Don't you know the Earth is a pyramid and it's not spherical?
Ooh, now we're getting very interesting.
I'm just kidding. I wanted to touch on something. I hope I didn't mishear Melanie earlier. Maybe she can clarify on this. Am I correct that I heard you say that there's nothing wrong with a dead police officer because they can't oppress anybody anymore?
Pretty sure that's what she said.
Basically what I said.
Hold her feet to the fire.
Okay. I don't see how that is even going to work with the non-aggression principle. You know, I won't kill a cop, but I don't care if somebody else does. I don't think that's morally correct.
Well, first of all, the non-aggression principle is not these are all the things that are bad that you shouldn't ever do principle. It only prohibits aggression. So even if somebody acts in a way that is disproportionate or not a good idea to do self-defense at the time, it still doesn't violate the NAP. And I do feel like that's important to point out. Also, I can't say that it might be strategically awful, but I'm not going to feel sorry for a cop.
You're not going to feel sorry for a human being's life being taken from them?
When they're actively aggressing against several other human beings, no.
Yeah, I think
I'm also not sure that the non-aggression principle requires me to root for the good guys or whatever. So that's what you're sort of suggesting here, caller. I'm not sure that that's. I'm not saying I agree
with
Melanie.
I don't think he's suggesting that.
He is.
No, he's just surprised at the callousness.
What I suggested is, yes, you don't have to root for the good guy, but to me it sounded like she was rooting for the bad guy.
Does the non-aggression principle somehow preclude me rooting for the bad guy?
I would assume so, because that's promoting violence.
Who's rooting for the bad guy? Sorry.
Well, he's calling the cops the good guys, basically.
So. Is he?
I'm not calling them the good guys. I'm for taking away the power of the police as much as anybody else is. But
how do you do that nonviolently?
I think he's just shocked at the callousness towards the loss of a human life. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, but in the net, it's not loss of human life, because all the people who they would have killed had they, stayed around are now not dead.
All right, it's 1943, caller. Hitler and Stalin are battling it out on the Ostfront. All right. This is where the majority of World War II, at least the European theater, is going on. Who are you picking?
I would choose neither of them.
All right, fine. Then that's where I'm at.
That's where you choose it?
Choose neither. I don't feel any obligation to root for anybody. If I think to myself I prefer the, whatever. I don't think that anybody who picks a side in this in a battle between two bad people necessarily, and I'm not calling about cops bad. I'm simply saying I'm refining the claims of the non-aggression principle here. I don't think it requires me to either root for the good guys or root against the bad guys or any of those things.
But I want to ask what Melanie just said. She just said, well, if a police officer has died, you instantly save lives because they would have killed somebody else anyway.
That's very presumptive.
Yeah. That's
not every
what
cop
I...
kills innocent people. You know that.
Well, far fewer than...
They're a member of a murderous gang. They are an active member of a murderous
gang.
So
because somebody else in the gang did something bad, all the gang members should be punished? I mean, come on. This is basic collectivist error.
No, yeah. This is conspiracy, and conspiracy, regardless of how much it's abused by the state, is still a thing.
What about IRS agents?
It's
the same
them?
Thing. Well, should we root for their deaths too? I mean, I know that they're going to participate in theft this year, and I don't feel too bad for thieves that get killed.
Okay, so there's two separate questions. Well, there's three separate questions. A, is it a NAP violation? B, is it moral? Because it can be immoral and not be a NAP violation. And C, is it a good idea? Is it a NAP violation to kill an IRS agent? No, because they're actively committing theft every single day. Or maybe
NAP, by the way, is the non-aggression principle. I always feel like I have to throw that in there for people just tuning in.
Yeah, this is a radio show.
Non-aggression principle.
Is it immoral? I mean, not really. They're stealing. They're telling you they're going to steal from you. They're actively stealing from you all the time. C, is it a good idea? No. Does it accomplish anything? No.
I just found that to be a very, no offense, just a foolish statement is all. So I had to ask about that. I mean, I agree with Ian. That is a very callous thing to say. And,
okay, and,
you know,
nobody here and nobody who I've ever spoken to who thinks that is really putting any thought towards the victims at all. And I mean, you kind, I guess you don't have to pick a side. You can be kind of just a complete pacifist. You know,
I'm the guy that's saying police officers shouldn't have guns. I'm the guy saying that if a cop kills somebody, you should lock him up for life. So how am I cheering it on either?
Okay, right. But how are you going to take away someone's guns or put them in jail for life non-violently?
Well, if I win my election next year, that's something I'm going to push for, but...
Okay, so you're gonna sit at a desk and tell other people to do the violence, and that's somehow better.
You can go out, being you can honest become about an it. Activist. You can testify for a bill in your own state to take guns away from police.
Yes, but okay, bills or laws of any kind are violent, unless it's a law that literally does nothing. But laws that prohibit or mandate behavior are violent, and the legislators writing them and the people voting for them are just as guilty, or not necessarily guilty if it's defensive force, of the violence that happens as the cop in the street pulling the physical gun. You're still committing that same act.
Liberty One lover, thanks better. For the call. We're going to continue here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world, so I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. The toll-free number, if you want to join us here, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Back to the phones, to the fun. We can talk more about Ademo Freeman and CopBlock.org. The founder of CopBlock, Ademo, seems like he's been having a paradigm shift recently to a perspective of peace and love and forgiveness, which is very different from the man who had been promoting F the police and F your badge as his primary catchphrases, if you will, over the most recent years. So we'll get back into that if we get the chance. Your calls and thoughts come first. Let's go to, we've got Tom in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
By the way, I'm surprised since when there's a lunar eclipse, you can see the curvature of the Earth and the shadow of the Earth on the lunar surface. And it kind of shows you that the Earth is round. And I'm surprised they didn't think of that as a way of determining longitude thousands of years sooner, because, you know, you just think, okay, what's the local time when the lunar eclipse becomes total? Okay, what's your local time? It's the same moment they saw it in London as they saw it in Rome and Constantinople,
but they didn't have
the Roman Empire.
They didn't have the standard of time wasn't around the globe, but that international at that point. I mean, they just sort of took a guess as to what time it was, right?
No, they had the rising and setting of stars, and when the sun is on the meridian and stuff like that.
Okay,
but anyway, about the cops,
ever heard of a sundial?
Getting back to the cops. I just want to point out that this morning out in Baytown, Texas, the chief deputy constable was pulling in and getting out to go into the building, the cop building, and an assassin came in and took out that cop. And so I named my latest website after that cop. And so I'm not going to give a plug on the air, of course, for it, but I'm just saying that it's not very flattering about cops. And it's a whole new website that I set up, and it's dedicated to that cop that got gunned down. And I'm sure some people that are looking for more information.
Well, you can't tease. I mean, now I want to know, what is the website?
ClintonGreenwood.com.
So you made an entire website about a cop that was, this guy was recently killed?
Gunned down this morning in Baytown, Texas, and just as people are getting, let me find out more information on the internet, let me put that in there, it's probably going to filter through, and that's going to be one of the top results, because that's the name they keyed in, and that's the title of the website and the domain name, so that's probably going to show up high in the results, and they're going to see some truth about what cops are, and that they are the scum of the earth, and that they threw the flash grenade into that toddler's playpen on 28 May 2000.
Now, wait, just to be clear, the cop who got killed wasn't the cop who threw a flash grenade into the child's playpen.
Well, kind of like if you're in the service during the Second World War, you don't go looking for the exact same pilots that dropped the bombs on Pearl Harbor, because all of the armed forces of the hostile government are the enemy for the duration of the hostility.
Yeah, and they need to be stopped. And if they can be stopped peacefully, that's great. I think that's a pipe dream. If somebody can accomplish that, great. And if they can be stopped violently, that works too. Either way, it stops them from throwing grenades on toddlers.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Appreciate it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Just doesn't seem very libertarian to, group everybody in this one particular group together. I mean, is the animal control officer also, should he also be subject to the same punishment as the SWAT team?
Okay, well, there's a difference between punishment and defensive force. Punishment is what you do after the fact, for whatever reason, revenge, deterrence, whatever. Defensive force is something you do to stop oppression. So, first of all, cops are all committing, conspiracy to commit these acts. Just because they don't happen to be the one that pulled the pin on that grenade doesn't mean that they're not in a group whose purpose it is to commit these kinds of acts. Maybe they've never personally been involved in a act this heinous or this kind of clickbaity, but they're still in a group whose this is their purpose and this is what they do. Second of all, because they enforce laws and because there's all kinds of ridiculous victimless laws, by putting on a uniform, by putting on a badge, by identifying as a cop, they're committing assault, kind of just by being there.
I've met so many cops that I would have that are willing to listen to these ideas, that are interested in the ideas of liberties. I was brought to the ideas of liberty by law enforcement officers. And I think that, when we alienate, I'm vehemently anti-war, but I try very, very hard not to alienate the enlisted men and sort of low-level officers and those kind of things. I think that we're far better off making, pointing fingers at, the
politicians,
bureaucrats, police brass, high-level bureaucrats, not your average functionary, police brass, military brass, these kind of folks, because there's a much smaller group of them, and they have so much more power.
Right, and I think that that is also a valid strategy, and at this point in the game, I think that all strategies are useful. But just because one is useful, or yours is useful, or Ian's useful, or that guy who called in and doesn't like me, his strategy is useful, doesn't mean that mine isn't always useful. And we're going to reach different people, but it's not like there's a shortage of what I'm doing or a shortage of what you're doing. So
yeah, I was going to say, there's definitely a shortage.
There's definitely a shortage. There's not an excess. So it's not like I don't feel like I'm pulling... I guess I am, because I could be doing something else instead, but it's not like I'm pulling resources away from where they're needed to where they're not needed. Different things are going to reach different people, and they're all valuable. The peace-hugging cops is valuable. So is the, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, this is not a net violation. You probably should.
The non-aggression principle. I understand that you sort of view them all in the same light. You consider them all to be part of the same criminal gang. You said if you put on the uniform, you're committing assault. There must be some exceptions to that rule. What about the officer that goes out there and he is specifically against pulling people over for BS, speeding ticket violations? What about the officer who refuses to arrest somebody for possession of marijuana?
He's not going to be an officer very long. You're not describing a thing that actually happens.
There are cops who will look the other way when it comes to, possession of marijuana.
They oppress people enough to keep their job if they're keeping their job.
There's a good chance you're right about that.
There's a 100% chance I'm right about
Wouldn't you prefer to have the lowest threshold rather than the highest threshold, right?
A threshold of what?
Threshold of oppression from police.
Yes, but there's also the philosophical... It is a bad idea to kill cops. But there is the philosophical question of, does this violate the NAP? And just like with shooting heroin, you shouldn't do it, but it does not violate the non-aggression principle. And saying that it does confuses people.
There's a difference between saying that it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. I'm with you on that, I suppose that's a much more convincing statement than, let's kill some cops, right? Like that.
That statement, just for the record, in essay.
You made
statements to sound remarkably like that.
Well, and that's the thing. The people that are there are people out there who only look at the non-aggression principle when they determine what is right and wrong. And
that's a really bad way to go about your life.
It's a terrible.
Because not only can you shoot cops, you can shoot heroin. You can call your mom at 2 a.m. and call her nasty things even if she's not. Can be really legalistic about everything in your life, and that's a really horrible way to go about life.
Well, but
the non-aggression principle is the absolute minimum standard for human behavior.
And it's a terrible, if that's all you have, then you're not a good person. Where I was going with that is, if somebody believes that all police are inherently aggressive because they put on the badge they're committing assault, then that could lead someone to say, well, if they're committing assault, then that's aggression, and so therefore I can go out and slaughter police at will.
Well, and they can under the NAP. It is a bad plan at this particular point in history. And that is the only thing, by the way, that makes it make sense to a lot of people. That is the only thing that makes it make sense to me, that made it make sense to me at the time, after I spent 6 years as a minarchist. Because if you're saying that it's a NAP violation to kill cops, then that means that it's okay to be a cop. So then you're saying that it's okay for the state to exist, and then it doesn't make sense to be an anarchist. I struggled with this for a long time.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and our Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And you can join us online anytime you want, so head on over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there. You can also get your shopping done and get a great deal, like 20% off. Or you actually get to choose the discount. 10, 15, 20, 25%, 33% is the maximum discount. I didn't really think I was going to get it, but I went for it on a recent item over at saveitpurse.com. And it was an item that I thought, I don't really need this thing anytime soon, so I'm just going to put it at 33% and wait and see what happens. And it took more than a week, but somebody did actually order the item for me, so very happy about that. You can get these amazing discounts. The catch is you have to have cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or one of the other competitors to Bitcoin in order to use saveitpurse.com. If you've got dollars, sorry, you can't use saveitpurse.com. You got to use Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency to get these amazing discounts on your purchases at Amazon. I buy everything I get from Amazon through saveitpurse.com, and I've saved something like $1,700 in 2 years on 80-plus purchases. I mean, it's amazing. That's money that I would have spent anyway because I was going to buy the stuff anyway. So why not save 10, 15, 20%? It's easy to do. You go to saveitpurse, saveatpurse.com. It's Ian, Melanie, and Mark in the studio here tonight as we go and continue with your calls and thoughts. We've got Ian. He's on the line in China on via Skype. Go ahead, Ian.
Well, I guess I'm going to revert to this police thing. I'd like to see any lawyer call into the show and tell me that a cop isn't guilty of the RICO Act by simply putting the badge on his shirt.
RICO meaning, I forget what it
says. RICO is basically a conspiracy.
Racketeering in criminal and organizations. If you're affiliated, the actual name of the act, here it is, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. If you are affiliated with any of these corrupt organizations or racketeers, you're guilty. You put your badge on. Guess what, baby? You are affiliated with a criminal organization working for racketeers.
I would generally agree with you, but I bet you there's a carve-out in there for law enforcement.
It's just not illegal to be in law enforcement, which is the defense.
It is illegal to be in collusion with a criminal organization or under the influence of racketeers.
Right, but they're,
Chicago.
They're not going to define themselves as criminal organization, which is the problem there. Yeah. And I do think that Rico takes it too far.
I'm medical, not legal, but this made sense to me.
Right, and by logic, yes, under RICO, cops would be guilty, except that it's not illegal to... They're not going to make it illegal. They're not going to rule that way because they'd be ruling against themselves. Right. And I do think RICO takes it too far, because RICO, you don't even have to necessarily know that you're a member of something that is... Like, you could be guilty of being a mafia member under RICO without knowing that you're in the mafia or knowing that the person you're working with is a member of the mafia.
That is a fact. But there are cases of individuals who are doing 20 years... for being affiliated with something they didn't know was a criminal organization.
Right. And
they got scooped up in the dragnet.
And that does take it too far. But if you are committing actual conspiracy with someone, hey, we're going to go do this not criminal thing, but you know, this non-aggression principle violating thing. Let's agree to do this. And then just because you're not the one pulling the trigger, you're still guilty. But yeah, definitely under RICO, you know, yeah, they're absolutely guilty.
Well, that said and done, let me backpedal to my original comment, which is about that flat earth thing. Guys, the earth is hollow. How can it be flat?
It's like a ping pong ball.
Think about this. Admiral Byrd was no fool. He wasn't given to whimsy. This is a highly decorated naval officer.
Appeal to authority.
Admiral Byrd describes in his diary flying over 1,700 miles of lush and verdant landscape, as he describes it on the pole. He says and swears in his diary that the North and South Poles are only two of many entrances to what he calls the hollow earth.
Now, isn't it possible that he's crazy?
Okay, let's think of this, though. The testimony of one person has sent many people to the gallows, the gas chamber, and the firing squad.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because the government isn't good at logic.
One person. So here's a guy, one person, along with his entire air crew, his exploration team, his support people, all attesting to the same thing.
I've never heard that before.
I think that it's more likely that they were victims of MK Ultra than it is that the Earth is hollow and we haven't figured that out.
What is MK Ultra?
Mind control? It's when the CIA was slipping people acid, especially in the military and schools, but kind of just anybody, kind of for funsies. Okay,
but you don't put acid in the admiral's drink when he's piloting and leading this expedition.
You do if you're the feds. You don't care if they crash.
And here's my final clincher. Hmm. The National Geographic pre-published the story. They interviewed him. They talked to him. Every copy of that magazine was taken up from the distributorships and gone.
Really?
Well, I gotta say that...
It wasn't Nat Geo who polled them. They were polled by three or four different named organizations. And Byrd was told, shut your mouth, this now becomes military secret. And Byrd said, the genie's out of the bottle. And they said, shut up. He was allowed to retire honorably, one of the highest decorated soldiers in history, rear admiral of our fleet. And his word isn't good enough, but Melanie, you could accuse Ian of kicking the dog meat out of you in a bar fight. And you have no bruises to show for it, but your word is going to get him arrested.
Right, it would, because we have a horrible legal system that does things like that. The fact that the legal system is worse.
Okay, so they take your word.
Right, but they shouldn't, because that's horrible evidence. It's not evidence.
Here's Admiral Byrd. Admiral Byrd. You know, to become an admiral, you need congressional appointment. You don't just become a general officer. The president has to approve it after general appointment by the Congress.
So this is appeal to authority. I mean, I don't care that he's an admiral, but I am kind of interested in this. If he knows where this great spot is, and if all of his team knows where it is. Well, his team knows, right? And, you know, if my dad told me that this great area that one could go exploit economically or, you know, in whatever way, this lush, verdant area that's on the North Pole, which doesn't make any sense since it's a sheet of ice. But
he's crazy.
Nonetheless, if there was this area and I believed it, I'd say let's go. Because, I mean, I'm ready to go exploit it now if you can convince me that it's there. At this point, I'm not convinced. Why haven't you gone? I mean, it's awesome, right?
I haven't gone because I'm an underpaid nurse in China.
Okay, well.
I make less money in a year than you make. I probably make a year.
I mean, this would be or seem like it'd be a relatively easy thing to prove. What with satellite technology now, and you know, satellite imagery of the entire
not over
the
poles.
Not over
Good.
The poles.
Thanks for mentioning. Go to your Google Earth, hop onto your satellite, and look at how those areas are under
All
blank
right.
white
squares. Thanks for the
squares.
Call tonight, Ian. More coming up. Free Talk Live. What do you shop for that you could otherwise buy at Amazon? Pretty much everything, right? Amazon has competitive pricing and they deliver, and that's a big plus. If you could plan ahead in your shopping, would you be interested in saving up to 33%? There's a catch. You have to do your shopping in Bitcoin, but imagine those savings. It's like a huge raise. All you have to do is go to saveitpurse.com. We've saved thousands, and you can too. Plan ahead and save. Saveitpurse.com. It's Free Talk Live. Join us here on the radio. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And as always, you can bring up anything you want to discuss. 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, so Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. Mark, tell me about hope.freetalklive.com.
Well, what's a project that I've got going where I'm trying to help help a friend build an orphanage in Uganda. So he's been taking care of about 40 orphans over there, and you know they're sleeping in this area that's about the size of a large walk-in closet, and they've done the work to get the foundation put in for the orphanage, but they need concrete and rebar right now, and he needs about $2,000 to make that happen. And I'm trying to get people to help out and, you know, donate like I have to this project and see if we can get this foundation put together. One of the reasons that it needs to be done so quickly is because they have made a bunch of bricks and these bricks deteriorate in the foul weather, which is rainy season's coming on. If they can get the foundation put in, they can at the very least set the bricks on the foundation and then sort of wrap them so they should be okay rather than just decaying into the mud from which they were made. So please go to hope.freetalklive.com. All the relevant information is there. You can ask questions. I can help with the donation if that's what you need. Whatever it is, hope.freetalklive.com. Frankly, we haven't had a lot of action on this. For whatever reason, something I'm saying about you know this project in which I'm involved isn't motivating people. We've had so much luck in the past with getting, you know, helping charities and that kind of thing. Maybe it's because it's in Africa and people don't trust Africans. I don't know, but I
do have to be careful. I mean, because there are a lot of scams that come out of some of those countries.
I have worked my butt off to ensure that this is true. Like, I'm not going to send my listeners over there to donate money to some kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've seen the videos and I've watched them doing this work. They've, you know, named me and said hello, and the kids have sang songs to me. This is legit. Best I can tell. Hope.freetalklive.com.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Willie. He's on the line listening in Lake Isabella, California to KVLI. Hey, Willie. Willie. In California, going once. Willie in California, going twice. We'll put Willie back on hold. Maybe he's in a bad cell. We'll try him again here in a little bit. Let's go to a different Ian. This one is calling from, I believe he said, Ohio. Ian, you're on Free Talk Live on Skype.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I wanted to take it into a different direction.
All right.
And that you talk about Bitcoin. and Bitcoin has been a huge fucking thing.
I think you just said something you're not supposed to, so I gotta let you go. We're doing a radio show. Sorry about that. Maybe some of our internet listeners, he did say to me that he was newer to the show when I was screening his call briefly there. Maybe our internet listeners don't realize it, but this is a radio show, first and foremost, and we're heard on broadcast radio stations. And so saying certain words, like the F word, are, well, we can't let that happen. And unfortunately, we have to basically have a zero tolerance policy for it. So unfortunately, he won't be able to talk to us tonight, but you can always call back tomorrow. Yeah, we have a one call per night rule. Feel free to call in again. Don't say the F word. Don't say the C word. Don't say the S word.
An S word.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few things you shouldn't say. Those are the specific
usually,
ones.
Yeah, like a handful of words that you shouldn't say.
Yeah.
If when in doubt, leave it out. That's usually generally a good rule when it comes to broadcast radio. Come up with something else. So anyway, 855-450-FREE. Let's continue here with Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah.
Wow, I got so lucky that the two callers ahead of me just screwed up, so I get my turn. Wow.
There you go.
That's
lucky
awesome.
You.
Well, you know what? I have a hypothesis. There's a reason why the city of Chicago and Atlanta, Georgia, they like red light cameras.
Revenue.
They're corrupt.
Well, you know what? I'm assuming there's a high population of African-Americans, and percentage-wise, they get hit by cars more than the other nationality people. So if a city like Manhattan and L.A. has a high population of African-Americans, and they like red light cameras. So that's
I doubt
my
that.
Assumption.
If you're black and you like red light cameras, please call in at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
And then after you call us, call the Guinness Book of World Records.
Right. When you use New York, I think it's the most laughable part. So a city that has a policy of shaking down black people is somehow protecting them with red light cameras.
I mean, this is the jurisdiction that kept going back to the Supreme Court to... After the Supreme Court told them they weren't allowed to choke people to death, so they're like, well, what if we do it this way? No. Well, what if we do it this way? No. That's that jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But here's something. The population, it's a high African-American. Those are the people that vote in the mayor, that vote in the city councilors, that people live there. And those are the people that like the red light camera.
No.
See?
No. You're projecting, Sarah, your own beliefs onto those people. You're thinking that because you hold on, you believe that because you like red light cameras and you are a pedestrian, that therefore all pedestrians like red light cameras, especially black people who you say are more likely to be hit by cars. You seem to think that everybody is going to come to the same conclusions that you have about this.
Well, you know something? I did my own survey.
You did.
I talk to people every day. Mm-hmm. And you know something? The African Americans, they agree with me. You know something? They're very supportive of the speeding bans and the red light cameras from the ones that I talked to.
So well, they like have the opportunity survey. To call in and point that out. But I really think this is the best bet here, Sarah, is to follow the money. And the money is that is it Redflex? What's the name of the company? Is basically paying off politicians to get into these cities, and the politicians like the revenue, the bureaucrats like the revenue. It's the people in the government that want the revenue. That's what makes the most sense.
So you know something? Half of the cameras are gone now. Do you think our life has gotten better? Do you think it has saved more lives, like you guys claim? What's the stat? No, more people are dead inside cars and as pedestrians.
More people are dead. You can't show you can't show the numbers that show that red light cameras save people. I can show the numbers that say that they kill people, and that's the difference.
6,000 pedestrians are killed last year. That's
yes, but they weren't killed at red lights when the red lights were changing. And many times pedestrians are killed because they've misbehaved themselves on the side of the road.
Yeah, pedestrians would seem to be far less likely to be killed at red lights, given that many cars are stopped at the red light. But regardless, Sarah, we've been over this with you, you know, before, and the reason why cities who are motivated by revenue, not safety, the reason why cities have removed these cameras is because it has it has been such an outrage that people have been so outraged that these cameras have caused more car accidents. Now, you believe that that's just minor little fender benders of people, you know, that are slamming on their brakes to avoid going through the red light, as opposed to when the red light cameras aren't there, you believe there are more like T-bones where people will go out into the intersection and get slammed into the side of their car, which sounds plausible on its front, but the statistics show that these cameras increase the danger at these intersections so much. They increase the danger so much that these politicians who normally would ignore stuff like that can't ignore it because there was such a great pushback against these things from the population in any given area. They could not ignore the statistics that were put in front of them about the dangers that these red light cameras propose. That's how egregious of a danger that the red light cameras are, but you ignore that.
Yeah, having been hit by in the rear end at a stoplight when I stopped for the red light and it had just turned, I understand the dangers of this. You know, the guy that was behind me was looking at his phone.
You might survive it, but you might have whiplash as a result.
I had a back injury that's lasted for more than 15 years as a result.
Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live. Remaining moments coming up next. Talk Live. Moments remain here. You can join us. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got more calls on the line, so we're going to get to them. We never did actually finish up the story from Ademo Freeman called Was I Wrong? But if you want to see that in full, I will put it up on our Facebook and Twitter. Of course, it's over at copblock.org, so you can check that out as you wish. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
We're going to go back to the phones and the fun. We talk first to Eric. He's in Delray Beach, Florida, listening online through the LRN.FM app. Go ahead, Eric. Hello, Eric. Eric going once. There he is. Okay, we have you now. Go ahead. Yeah.
How you doing? A couple weeks ago, I kind of kicked over the anthill with this immigration welfare spending thing, which I then listened in the next couple days. I realized there was a whole bunch of callers, and I did more research on this, and because I cited the Cato Institute study, which that caused a big uproar. But the more I look into this, it's pretty well documented that immigrants really aren't qualified for all that much welfare.
Well, that's kind of misleading because their children who were born here are.
Right. I'm sorry. Illegal immigrants aren't. Legal immigrants are. And I'm getting my information from the NCSL.org, which is it's an immigration policy institute. And, only legal immigrants with green cards or refugees or people granted asylum, sort of lawful immigrants are really able to get.
But a U.S. citizen child of an illegal immigrant is eligible for welfare.
And if you're in a sanctuary city, it's unlikely that you're going to get bothered as an illegal immigrant or undocumented worker or whatever terminology you wish to use.
And I mean, that's not a justification for initiating force against people who are crossing an imaginary line, because U.S. citizens take welfare all day long as well. So,
it is
misleading, if not just flat out false, that illegal immigrants aren't on welfare as well as U.S. citizens.
They're not qualified, is what I'm saying. So they're, again, this is based upon federal law, and there's different, in sanctuary cities and in certain places, I'm sure there's violations of that. I'm just saying, as the law is written, a lot of these numbers were being skewed because of legal immigrants that are qualified.
Right,
so there's a huge difference.
Right, but if I said that it's illegal to give you a grant, but it's legal to give your car a grant, you're getting a grant. So if I say it's illegal to give you food stamps, but it's legal to give your 2-month-old child food stamps, foods go in the same place.
Can a 2-month-old child apply for food stamps? I highly doubt that.
No, the food stamps are in, and most welfare is in the name of the adults. It can be in the adult's name, too, depending on what program. But like,
so an adult who's not qualified can apply on behalf of a qualified child?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm basically just saying, you know, I just wanted to get to the point of sort of like, yeah, there's legally born citizens of illegal immigrants. It's kind of a different thing. I understand those qualifiers and everything. It also came up with that woman that, you know, she was kind of more conservative and just like shooting down the Cato and everything. You know, I get that. And I get these conflicting studies, but one thing I'd like to really ask the more conservative people, you know, is like with all this outrage focused at immigration and recipients of benefits. Well, I'd like to posit that the greatest welfare queens or lushes or sponges are actually the U.S. military. Mm. And if they would apply the same standard that they do to people crossing those imaginary lines, and I'm a veteran, I'm a Marine. Mm. So, you know, I'll say this all day long. And I say it at, you know, at the VA or whatever, you know, like,
is that what you're, are you referring to the people who are sort of ex-military, they're the welfare recipients, or the people who are current military?
No, active duty. I draw a difference there because we sign a contract, okay? And as a libertarian, I believe in contracts. And when you sign a contract in USMC, there's a profane thing about you signed the blah, blah, blah contract. That's sort of, you know, when you get out, because you signed that contract, just like if you did with any other employer, where the contract, you know, says, okay, well, you're going to do this job for me, and as a result of that, I'll get this. I'm not saying that, you know, I believe in people mooching off the government, but if you enter into a contract with somebody and you get out, then you're kind of, yeah, you can draw on those benefits. But I'm saying is active duty, the Pentagon, you know, that's where the greatest percentage of our budget is just siphoned off of the American taxpayer.
Well, yeah.
The standard isn't.
I would I'll contend that. So just because you know, some giant ship or tank is purchased, that doesn't benefit the soldier, sailor, airman, or
Marine.
Well,
no, but then that would benefit
but
the
I would say
contractors.
That it's Medicare is you know, when you're talking about old people getting service, you know, spending a quarter and getting a dollar worth of service back, that is where your largest amount of welfare is going.
It seems like the argument often boils down to, well, I'm paying taxes and da 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 da.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, and it's like, okay, you know, it's like, well, listen, you know, what you're paying for is largely a professional slush fund for an organized band of murderers.
That's, you know, certainly what you know, Smedley Butler would likely say.
Semper Fi.
Hey,
That's how I begin. He's one of the men that really helped like shape my opinions on this. And you don't know it until you've been in the belly of the beast. It's very difficult to understand the bile, you know? So
good call, Eric. Thanks for sharing your personal experience with us. I appreciate that. Let's try Willie one more time. We're going to get, I think maybe there's some technical difficulties. Willie, are you with us now? Willie going once? Willie going twice? He's gone. All right, let's go to Ralph in New Jersey.
You know,
Ralph, Ralph, just want to let you know that we're going to put a restriction on you because you've been calling about the same thing for way too long, and we don't want our listeners to get bored of you. So we want to challenge you to not use the terms El Negro Animal tonight. Okay, now go ahead with your call. You cannot talk about black people.
You know, the gas wave in Chicago proved once again the animalistic ways of, you know, them people, okay? Them people and...
He just can't. No, he just can't do it. He just can't. Isn't there anything else that's interesting to you in life besides black people that you don't like? What is it you like, Ralph? What is it that, you know...
Okay. What about Rachel Dolezal? Is there anything interesting about
Rachel Dolezal? This is the woman who was pretending to be black.
Other than, other than identifying herself for what she is not. Now, there is, this is why guilty run amok, okay? This is why guilty
that you might be right about.
Run awry, okay?
This is I don't agree. I
didn't
think
I hear recently. Hold on, Ralph. Go ahead, Mark.
If the lady wants to be, you know, she claims that she's trans black,
right?
And I say she is.
That doesn't even mean anything, though.
If she functions in the world,
that means she wants to be black, right?
The way she understands to be black. I mean, I don't care. Like the thing is that. I think that you can identify black as a color, and it seems like she's probably not that. You can identify it as a culture. You know, that term is used. And if that's what she wants, the culture she wants to identify with, I don't see a particular problem with it. I think that, you know, there are lots of people of lots of different colors that move through the major culture in the United States with ease and alacrity and would never point fingers at them.
But they don't claim to be something they're not.
They never claim anything. They just...
Right, then they're not lying. They're just, you know.
The book is called In Living Color, Finding My Place in a World of Black and
White.
If
you plug that book halfway one more time, you're going to have to pay for a plug.
Halfway through the book, I get the impression that
you
there
bought
is
it?
Something psychological. Yes, I did. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Well, kudos to you for that.
I want a sociological study because I already studied, you know, the animalistic ways of the black.
Now I gotta get rid of you because you broke the rule. You broke the rule.
He broke the rule in the second sentence.
He said animalistic, and then those.
He
people.
Said those people.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but then he changed it. But it was his first time, okay? So then he changed it to Rachel Dolezal, and that was actually like a topic. You know, that is actually something that we could discuss. Right? Something we haven't heard before every single time he calls. So thank you for the call tonight, Ralph. New rule for Ralph. And maybe another caller as well who didn't call tonight. All right. So we'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, over at freetalklive.com. Well, actually, he did call, but then he hung up before we got on the air. So we'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com. Enjoy the free archives and the interactions that you can have there. And don't forget to amp the show at amp.freetalklive.com.
We'd like to invite you to visit FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.